You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 20, 21, in this corner, Dr. Fake, and in this corner, Senator Rand Paul, a cage match, no holds barred. Listen, what I've got coming up in this segment after this news and commentary, you do not want to miss. Senator Rand Paul, according to some, he said, some are saying he stepped pretty close to the line accusing Fauci of perjury. Kind of close to the line, you think? Well, when you hear what Rand Paul says, you're going to say, you don't think he stepped close to it. I think he went over it on purpose. And the reaction from Dr. Fake is, I've never lied before Congress, and you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, listen, friend, you do not want to miss what's coming up in the next segment. In the meantime, the Biden administration again renewing a declaration, quote, a public health emergency exists due to the continued spread of the coronavirus. That means the Fed government can tap into certain funding to combat the public health emergency. As of last report, 190 million across 192 countries have been infected by coronavirus, and at least 4 million deaths. You heard the report on coming out of India that maybe 4 million died just in India. And the Delta variant now apparently accounting for 83% of all cases in the U.S. And you've got the progressive left and Bernie Sanders and everyone saying that anyone who is anti-vaccine is a cult member and you are anti-science. Well, we don't know what science to follow because you guys keep changing it anyway. And in the meantime, we've got a new report by House Republicans on the House and Oversight Judiciary Committee show the Biden administration and Democrat lawmakers are directly responsible for the ongoing crisis at the southern border. Talking about how Trump had stemmed the flow of illegal migrants, now look where we are. And in fact, we know Joe Biden's administration using a U.S. military base in Texas to fly at least 800 border crossers deeper into the U.S. We've already been paying for bus fare for them. Now we're giving them airfare. And the number of detainees testing positive for COVID-19 in the Rio Grande Valley sector increasing 900%. And they want to blame American citizens for spreading the COVID. All these illegals coming in, they're not really being tested. The Border Patrol does not typically test migrants when they're initially taken into custody. When they get to the Department of Health and Human Services, they might be tested, they might not. No big deal. And, of course, we've got these Texas Democrats that flew out of the state of Texas and all the way up to D.C., to talk to various D.C. officials, meeting with VP Harris and others. 3, 4, 5, now 6 of them documented as coming down with COVID or having testing positive for COVID, although they've been vaccinated. And the White House refuses to call it a super spreader event, saying we're not going to call it a super spreader. Vaccines are not foolproof, as Jen Psaki said. And yet at the same time, they say you have to have the vaccine. And maybe also go back to the mask. Oh, and China still has its own story going as well. They have 500,000 Chinese netizens, as they call it. I don't think they really call them citizens. It's netizens signing a petition calling on the World Health Organization to investigate the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute at Fort Detrick as the potential original location of the Chinese coronavirus. Boy. I'm thinking about all those Chinese that lined up to sign that petition, over 500,000. Normally, you get approached by someone on the street and say, I want you to sign. No, I don't want to. I don't think they had an option. Oh, the Secretary of State in California is not releasing Governor Gavin Newsom's tax returns as he gets ready to face recall election. Everybody has to have these in, but they're not going to get his. And in fact, they have excluded conservative radio host Larry Elder from the upcoming recall election because he did not complete his tax returns. It's always a two two-way system. Amazon and Blue Origin founder Jeff Bezos, of course, catching the internet attention today with three others going into space, then safely back down. It was fantastic. I'll give them credit. And you know what everybody wants to talk about is he was wearing a cowboy hat. And a lot of folks are mocking it, making fun of it. They lifted off from Texas. I'm glad he wore the cowboy hat. Oh, and then we got prominent Democrat Swalwell of California, the one that had the Chinese hooker. I'm sorry, the Chinese spy that he was seeing from time to time, spending thousands and thousands of dollars, campaign dollars, on booze and limo services. Hey, ain't it great to be a Democrat in California?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a five-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH. Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Good question. Good question. That's Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, Republican. At the Senate hearing today, questioning Dr. Fauci, the director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, or as you heard Senator Rand Paul refer to it as NIAID. Now, again, I'm reading a piece here written by, I'm not sure the source on this one, but the writing says everything. In his questioning of Fauci, Paul stepped close to the line of accusing Fauci of lying to Congress. I think he did more than that. I think he just said, you know it's a crime, a federal crime, because you're under oath to lie to Congress during a hearing. You take an oath that you're going to be truthful, right? And you know that's wrong. Now, do you want to restate and re-clarify? Because what Rand Paul, Senator Paul, is suggesting is that you did lie. Now, keep in mind, this gain-of-function research, that terminology, gain-of-function research was being done at the Wuhan lab. Although Dr. Fauci at one time said we had nothing to do with it. And then, we gave him a small amount of money over a long period of time. And then, gain of function is an important thing. We need to know what would happen if something like that got out of control. I mean, and it got more dangerous. What would we do? How do we protect the people? So it's worth learning and finding out about. And so which is it, Dr. Fauci, fake, I should say, to be more accurate? What is it you want to know? You want to know that it could be deadly, and so you are investigating it? Or that you didn't really pay attention to it and let it happen anyway? Or that you knew it was going on and you kept quiet and you did lie to Congress? I'm going to let you hear his answer in just a moment. Those of you out there say, well, what did he say? What did he say? I'm going to let you hear it. Just give me a moment. I don't spend all these hours preparing this just to say, here's your ice cream. No, you have to go through the whole meal before you get dessert. Well, I'll cut it short for you a little bit. Because we might want to also move on to cigars and Jack. So we'll rush that up because I don't want to wait on that. So Dr. Fauci, let me get this straight. Dr. Fauci, director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, is appearing before this Senate hearing today along with Walensky. You know, Walensky, not a hockey player. No, not that one. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention director, Rochelle Walensky. They were both there. They are both considered, maybe it's just Fauci that's considered Biden's top medical advisor. Let's just say that. Only Fauci is the top medical advisor for Biden. Walensky just heads up the CDC, which is not a big organization unless you need to do something for you or you're worried that it's not doing enough to protect you. They're both appearing before the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. And they each emphasize the importance of vaccines for stopping the Delta variant. They did that in their opening remarks. Walensky said, the director of the CDC, the message from CDC remains clear. Vaccination is the most powerful tool we have. Well, back up. Don't rush into that statement because there's more behind it. She didn't say it, but they've already decided in L.A. that we're still going to have everybody mask up again. And Dr. Fake, who originally said, don't worry about this stuff hitting our shores, not a big deal. So when Trump said it's going to be probably not worse than the flu and it'll be over quickly, at that time the mainstream media went wacko attacking Trump, and he was basically repeating what Fauci, I can't remember, it's a fake or Fauci or both. When he said it was not going to be a big deal, and don't forget he said, you're not going to need to wear a mask. Masks won't do you any good. And then he later said, yeah, I misled you. You misled? That's akin to a lie when you said a mask won't do us any good. And you claim that you did that because you didn't want all the masks hoarded by common citizens. They had to go to the first response personnel in those emergency rooms. And I'm all for that. But you should have just kept your mouth shut on the whole point. And then when he comes on and says, you get a vaccine, you won't need the mask anymore. And they were thinking that through, and then they decide, you do need a mask now. And in fact, you might need two masks. And in fact, when you get the vaccine, you might still need a mask. You might still need two masks. You might need booster shot vaccines. What are we supposed to believe? Say that we who raise questions, that we're the conspiracy theorists and that we're lost, we're clueless, we're not following the science. What science? What science are you guys following? You're all over the board. But the key here is that in the Wuhan lab, and Dr. Fauci knows what they were doing there, when he eventually admits to it, he knew what they were doing, but again, you just heard Senator Rand Paul ask him and point out that you know it's a federal crime to lie to members of Congress in a hearing. Do you want to retract or re-clarify your statement? Because obviously the Bat Lady, who was quoted in the papers, the Bat Woman or whatever she was clearly involved in gain-of-function research. In other words, how do we weaponize this thing if we want to use it as a weapon? Or if it gets out of control, how do we get control of it? And the question is very simple. Do you want to retract your statement, or do you want to say, I said what I said, and I'm still not guilty of lying to Congress? Because, again, Dr. Fauci in his answer, well, he says it best. Let's listen.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
I rise to state that Dr. Fake apparently doesn't know what he's talking about. He just admitted, yes, gain of function is taking a virus and putting it in animals. And then he says it's not that. What? Can it be both? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so follow whichever one you want. I do know this. The White House continues to say, you know, we might need to gear up and do more here, reference all this COVID going around. I told you in the news and commentary a moment ago that they want to declare a new health emergency involving COVID so it can activate some federal dollars and to use for that and maybe build a safe house for folks who need to sit down with coloring books when they get traumatized because they're not being treated nice or something. At the same time, the White House is lying to us. The spokeswoman for VP Harris the other day said that she did not need to be tested after meeting with Texas state lawmakers who, after 3, 4, 5, 6 of them tested positive, said she doesn't need to be tested, even though she met with them. Then later, Jen Psaki said, I think that she was tested. So that's contradictory. Was she or was she not tested? And where the hell is, not that I've ever wanted to ask this question before, but where is Harris? Where is Elmo? Maybe Elmo and Harris are together. Where are they? Where's Nina? She hasn't been seen since Friday. We do know that she went to Walter Reed Hospital for a routine checkup Sunday after being with all these Texans that had flown up, Texas Democrats flying up in a plane without a mask on, contrary to FAA and CDC guidelines. But, hey, they're Democrats. They can make the rules that you had to follow, if you allow them. I really don't care if you're a Democrat, you're an independent, or you're Republican. I don't care about your religion. I don't care about your color. I care about this country. And we cannot run this country with people that are going to speak out of both sides of their mouth on a constant basis. We don't know who to believe. You can blame Trump for anything and everything you want. You can say he spread misinformation, but I just told you right here where the White House has been misspreading information regarding VP Harris, and we still don't know the facts. And in fact, on top of that, finally today, word comes out that a spokeswoman for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tested positive after meeting with members of the Texas legislature. The staffer was fully vaccinated and has not had recent contact with Pelosi that we're told. And all of this comes after at least 6 members of the Texas delegation who flew up without their mask on a plane to get out of the state of Texas, so they went out to vote on new voting law, that they had meetings with various Democrats, including Harris and members of her staff. And they don't want to call the Texas delegation and call them super spreaders. They don't want to do that. Howsomever, if a group of Republicans had been seen in total, I don't want you to get the word mask in mass total confused, but if a bunch of Republicans were on a plane together, no one wearing a mask, do you not think that would have been wall-to-wall coverage? Have you seen anything like that out of the leftist state-controlled media now? Nope. And we're still confused in this nation what to do next.
especially with kids going back to school. Are they going to go to school or not? And if they are they going to have to wear a mask even if they have vaccinations? And then what about those that maybe it's not going to be good for them? In fact, just last night, a college freshman, Olivia Sandor, got into her dream institution, BYU Hawaii, and she had gotten her doctor to sign off that she had Guillain-Barré syndrome, which left her paralyzed from the waist down for more than a month after she got a vaccine back in 2019. So she should be exempt from taking the vaccine again due to her high-risk medical history. But BYU is requiring all students to be fully vaccinated again, so they're going to deny her admission. She's got $200,000 in scholarship money already gifted because she's still trying to go to school, and they're saying, nope, you're going to have to follow our rules. I have an email that I got while we're on the air here regarding the dangers of the vaccine. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back. I'm going to share that with you in some of the other comments because we also have the Olympics. What's going to happen? Well, just today, the chief of the organizing committee for the Olympics, if I told you what he said right now as it stands at this moment, it could change before we come back from the commercial break. So rather than having to correct myself on the other side, let's go to break when we come back, and then I will tell you. And then hopefully it won't change before we end the program. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so if he changes what I'm getting ready to tell you in the next seconds as I'm speaking, not my fault. I'm giving the very latest regarding the Olympics. Tokyo 2020 organizing chief, the organizing committee chief, was asked, are you going to cancel the Olympics? We can't predict what will happen with the number of coronavirus cases, so we will continue discussions if there's a spike in cases. We have agreed that based on the coronavirus situation, we will convene 5-party talks again. The coronavirus cases may rise or fall, so we will think about what we should do when the situation arises. Of course, the games are going to be in Tokyo, and COVID-19 cases are rising in Tokyo, and the games postponed last year because of the pandemic will be held without spectators. They've already had reports of infections among some of those accredited to participate in the games, even if they've been vaccinated. And some of the Olympians don't want to be vaccinated because they're very careful about what goes into their body. Not necessarily that it would harm them, but they don't want anything in their body like that. One U.S. Olympian is not going to be able to participate because he won't do it. I got an email from Chris. I only give you the first name because if they put it on Facebook, I'd give you the whole information. But anytime somebody sends me something to LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com, I do not quote them because you don't see it entirely. Again, if they post it Larry Connors USA Facebook, everyone sees it, and I'd read the full name. But Chris raised this, wanted me to share something, saying this will explain why smart people don't want vaccine, why folks are getting sick after vaccination. A must-watch for all, a virologist that monitors the market now with a guest and a world-renowned vaccination expert. And there's a YouTube connection link. Chris, I do appreciate it, but you're probably one of 50 that have sent me the same thing. I see them all the time. And some I can validate, some I can't. And I forgot where I came down on this one, but I passed all right now. And it may be absolutely accurate. I'm not challenging the validity of it. I'm just saying I haven't had a chance to get into it in detail. And just because people are sending this around the internet doesn't mean that it is fake. But I told you that I could just put up the word that we're going to talk about COVID vaccine as a promotion. I could mention it on my Facebook, and it suddenly is flagged by Facebook or the White House that for real factual information, go to this site, which is handled, I guess, by Dr. Fake and the rest of them. Or just somebody in the back room at the White House said, you're in charge of everything from here on dealing with that. And yet we have still China and its state-run Global Times reporting that 500,000 Chinese netizens have signed a petition calling on the World Health Organization to investigate the cause of coronavirus in the U.S. Fort Detrick, U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. Yes, that does exist. And yes, they do deal with some dangerous things and viruses, Ebola, smallpox, so forth. And yes, a leak would be a problem. But the Wuhan lab and China is still trying to get out from under everything. And since 500,000 Chinese were willing to sign a petition that the World Health Organization should investigate us, I'm sure they will, right? Senator Cotton says it all. He said this is an admission of guilt. The Chinese Communist Party knows what they did, and now they're scared. Coming up, a discussion of the Supreme Court decisions. Conservatives, are you happy?
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There is no doubt that many conservatives and independents and even Democrats feared that once Trump made his appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court, everything would be turned upside down, and conservatives were expecting it. Former Vice President Pence the other night was speaking to about 1,200 evangelical activists and talking about, hey, we've got these justices, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. Isn't she something? And there's just kind of polite applause. A lot of Democrats in particular not happy with some of the decisions coming out of supposedly those who were going to be more constitutionalist, conservative-based, sticking to the Constitution. Joining us now, Giancarlo Canapero with the Heritage Foundation Legal System and Center. Thanks for joining us, Gino. Good to have you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, glad to have you back. You did a great piece the other day. I had seen it, and I just hadn't had a chance to get into full detail with it earlier. Actually, I think the full article was published originally in the Arizona Daily Sun, where you were giving a grade to the Supreme Court. Overall, you said it would be a B, but I want to break down some of the particular issues. Let's speak specifically about one of the things that critical to our nation, much less your political persuasion, the First Amendment. What happened there?
Yeah, so you recall the First Amendment covers a lot of things, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. And, you know, the court got good marks on that, not great. And the reason I say not great is because early on, you probably recall, when states, especially states like California, started imposing really draconian lockdowns on churches. And one of the things they did was that they held churches to much more stringent standards than they held to businesses. And at first, the Supreme Court, led by Chief Justice Roberts, said that was okay. Now, of course, that is a clear violation of the First Amendment's protection of religious liberty. If religious liberty means anything, it means that religious organizations have to be treated at least as well as businesses and secular institutions. But the Supreme Court thankfully switched courses very quickly and stood up for the proposition that we don't lose our fundamental rights just because there's an emergency. We also had a really good decision in a freedom of association case. California, originally under the guise direction of then Attorney General, now Vice President Kamala Harris, forced nonprofit groups to disclose their donors, their private information, their names and addresses. And then, you know, as any government like California's, which is a remarkable combination of partisanship and incompetence, it leaked all that information to the liberal media.
Yeah.
So the Supreme Court said that sort of behavior is unacceptable. The First Amendment's freedom of association means that you have the right to get together, to flesh out ideas in private if you want, and the government doesn't have the right to compel you to release your private information.
All
so
right,
that
now,
was a great win.
And now let me move to a couple of cases that I'm sure a lot of folks remember, religious liberty issues at hand. The woman who refused to bake a cake for a gay couple getting married, her case and similar cases that are lined up behind it, a lot of conservatives said the Supreme Court, with the justices we have on there now, say that either her case isn't worthy or that they're going to stand with everyone challenging that you have a right to stop. You can demand someone violate their own religion, and yet they passed another case where they did allow religion to take hold, and that'd be the Charity Catholic in Philadelphia. Help explain quickly both of those for us.
Right. So one of the things, when I said the Supreme Court gets a decent marks on religious liberty, those cases are why it doesn't get great marks. And so what the court did, you know, it was a backstop against major intrusion on the rights to religious liberty by state governments, but it was not willing to go a step further and protect religious liberty from other assaults. So in the Philadelphia adoption case, it took the narrowest possible grounds of allowing Catholic social services to prevail in its case where the city of Philadelphia discriminated against them. That case is not going away. The Supreme Court is going to have to hear it again in a couple years because they were not willing to really take a strong stand.
Let me make it specific for the audience so they understand. This was the Catholic charity was not allowed to participate in the city foster care system unless it agreed to place children with same-sex couples.
That's right. That's right. And the court said just the way that the city did that was not neutral is the word they use. What's going to happen almost certainly is the city is just going to make a minor tweak to its law to make it appear neutral. Catholic social services will still not be able to participate without violating their religious beliefs, and they're going to sue again, and we're going to have the same lawsuit again. The Supreme Court could have just cleared it up right away and said, look, you can't discriminate against religious organizations, even if your laws appear neutral. Anybody who's halfway clever can craft a neutral law that discriminates against religion.
Sure.
I mean, if the law said, you know, you can't get social services, you can't get social benefits unless you're willing to attest.
Bark like a dog. If you bark like a dog, you can get it. Yeah, yeah. You can make up
sure.
anything, correct?
Right. And it sounds neutral. But, you know, if you have a religious belief that prevents you from engaging in that neutral behavior, it still discriminates against religion.
So you look at the case of private free enterprise, and you look at mom-and-pop shops, photography shop, bakery, or whatever, and they say, based on my religion, I cannot. And when I participate in making a gay wedding cake or taking photographs for a gay couple because of my religion, and yet where does the court come down on that?
The court is not taking those cases, and that is a huge disappointment. There was a big opportunity to do that this term for a florist who creates beautiful floral arrangements and really puts her heart and soul into making that sort of artwork for weddings. And she said, my religious beliefs don't let me do it for a gay wedding. She lost in the lower courts, and the Supreme Court said, we're not going to take your case.
And other cases like that are lining up. Now, then we also have So, again, overall on the Supreme Court and its rulings on First Amendment rights, be they religious or freedom of assembly, things of this nature, you giving them a what grade?
Oh, probably a B.
All right.
I think at best.
So Obamacare, the court, what the court did or did not do regarding Obamacare.
Yeah, that was a failure by the court. What the court said is that the state challengers to the law don't have standing to sue. It means that they're not allowed into the courthouse at all to even argue their case against Obamacare. This is the third time we have seen the Supreme Court dodge this issue. And it looks like, you know, when you look at sort of the analysis the court did on this standing issue, it looks like an unprincipled way of dodging a politically fraught issue. There's really no way to reconcile this case with other cases where the court has sort of set down its rules of standing. And this was a big disappointment because this is exactly the sort of thing we're used to seeing from Chief Justice Roberts, where he will sort of finagle his way out of deciding a hard political question. And what that means is it's just another way of playing politics.
You're listening to Giancarlo Canapero with the Heritage Foundation. You wrote specifically on that. You said, and I'm going to read your writing, sir, the upside of this case was that it exposed the lie that Democrats leveled against Justice Barrett's confirmation that she was a judicial torpedo designed to kill Obamacare.
That's right. You will probably remember when Justice Barrett was being nominated, the Democrats hooted and hollered about how she was a bought and paid for vote to strike down Obamacare. Well, no serious legal thinker ever thought that was going to happen. That's just not how this case was going to go. So what we can take away from this is the next time the Democrats hoot and holler about a particular judicial nominee being doomed to America, we can all take them a little less seriously.
Well, we have Clarence Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, existing conservative Supreme Court justices, and you point out that they kind of criticized Barrett and Kavanaugh for being too timid, one on the Philadelphia case. But I'm looking and our Supreme Court should not be political. I'll emphasize that over again. We want to go by the Constitution. But we all know they bring baggage with them when they become a Supreme Court member. And they may have had past cases that went a certain way. You're grading the court like you are. I think you're kind of confirming what a lot of conservatives are saying. We didn't get what we thought we were getting.
In some respects, that's correct. It looks like Chief Justice Roberts, we know, will make political moves to avoid making political moves, which is the great paradox of his approach to judging, is that to avoid making what look like partisan moves, he's making political moves, which means he's not deciding cases on the law. We have seen some hints that Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Barrett are sort of favoring that approach with him. There were a few moves like that this term. I think it's still too early to say, at least with Justice Barrett, whether that's really going to be her approach.
I got to stop you very quick. I got to stop you very quick. Are you saying that time will decide if she's going to be more like Roberts or the case in front of her?
Well, we're going to need to see a few more cases because, remember, this was only her first term and it was an incomplete term for her because she joined partway through. So before we can really say whether she's more of a Roberts approach or more aligned with Justice Thomas, we'll have to wait and see.
All right. We'll be back with you and get another grade in the future. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
My pleasure.
We'll do it again. Giancarlo Canapero with the Heritage Foundation. Excellent points you made about the court. And I know a lot of folks are on the conservative side are very upset with how Justice Barrett and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch have reacted. Coming up, racism begins at infancy, so you need to teach your babies at that point. This is going way too far. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Jolene, please don't take him just because you can.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's a breaking story on CNN, and I'm keeping you up to date because I guarantee you they're going to make as much hay with this as they can. Tom Barrack, I believe that's the correct pronunciation, B-A-R-R-A-C-K. Here's the key. Former advisor to President Donald Trump, charged with illegal foreign lobbying on behalf of the United Arab Emirates. 7-count indictment, acting as an agent of the UAE between April 2016 and 2018, charged with obstruction of justice, making false statements to federal law enforcement agents. He was, the chairman of Trump's inaugural committee. But the charges appear unrelated to the inauguration. Makes no difference. I mean, they're going to smear Trump and everybody around him with these charges. Whether or not they're true, I don't know. I'm just saying that the indictment is there. That's a fact. CNN is welcome to report that all day long, but it's where they will go with it, regardless of the facts that you need to always give pause to and say, you stepped over the line again. You're trying to act like a journalist. Now you're showing you're not. I'd mentioned earlier about the excessive deaths in India. Again, when we're told certain things about COVID and what to expect and what not to expect. And we know in this nation that for in the beginning, we were not really sure we were really getting COVID deaths number, that folks died of COVID or with COVID. And I had no doubt the same issue was going on elsewhere in the world. But this is a pretty shocking number. According to the U.S.-based Center for Global Development, examining, they say, three different sources of data, trying to get a picture of what's happening in India. India's official COVID death toll as of end of June is 400,000. 400,000. And they have funeral pyres all over India. I mean, where they cremate the bodies and numerous bodies at the same time. I mean, it looks like a raging forest fire in some areas. But the official death count in India is 400,000. But this report says, you know, that could be 10 times as much, 3 million to 5 million died of COVID in India between January 2020 and June 2021. We'll keep an eye on it. In the meantime, we'll have the White House declare another health emergency in our nation. If you don't have a shot, you're going to have to be forced to get it. You want to go to school, you're probably going to do it. You're going to be a kid, you're going to have to wear a mask. If you get a vaccine, you're going to have to get a mask. So on and so on. And then we've got AOC appearing on CNN with Don Lemon Fruitcake last night. I didn't have time to spend on that today. I mean, I build this program on trying to decide what I probably had to throw out. I've got, and Quentin could testify, I've got papers all around me I haven't even begun to touch. I just don't have time. And in fact, things I was going to ask him to pull for sound bites today, I went to him and said, strike them. Don't bother pulling them out because probably won't get to them. And I was right, was I not, Quentin? I saved you some time and effort. Yes, I did. Thank you very much. Maybe lose something extra in your check to make sure that you agreed with me. Anyway, AOC was upset that critical race theory is not taught in elementary school. She said, we know that Republicans have started now to use these laws curtailing critical race curriculum that's not even being taught in the first place. You just said you want it taught. You say it's not being taught. We already know it's been taught and been proposed in various school districts. But she says what we have is Republicans are pushing back against it because they're trying to, quote, win back white suburban voters by scaring them. I don't know if anybody is being scared of CRT. We don't want our children taught it. To that extent, you can say you're frightened, but we're not using it to create racist approaches and attitudes. But what she's saying, why we should ask, why don't you want schools to teach anti-racism? Well, I would also ask, why don't we want our nation to realize the war between the states, the Confederacy, existed? You've wiped all those memos or mementos or memorials out, haven't you? It was an important part of our history, not a very good part in any way. We had more die, 700,000 die in that war between the states, however you want to label it, that, the Civil War, whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is, it was atrocious. The slavery was atrocious. We were putting an end to it. And I'm glad we did. And I don't know of anybody who believes that now, other than countries where AOC would probably have her head chopped off if she showed up. Don Lemon Fruitcake says, well, we don't want kids to be taught this because it makes, quote, white kids feel bad. Well, if you're creating a divisiveness and you're making people feel bad, but here we have, according to AOC, children don't feel guilt about racism, she said, early. They learn to recognize and engage in corrective behavior early. But what we do know is babies start to gravitate toward members of their own race when they're disproportionately exposed to just one race in their life. You raise a kid around only dogs, and the first time you introduce a cat to them, yeah, they're probably, what is that? Yes, we need to do better about that, but it's not teaching kids racism. Don't do things that divide our country. Let's find things that unite us and bring us together. Would that not be better for all of us? That's why I insist, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.